This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, what happens when you're the NFL Offensive Player of the Year? And you're the reigning NFL Offensive Player of the Year? You get paid. And that's exactly what happened to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. The Seattle Seahawks working out a deal with him. They signed him to a four-year, $168.6 million contract extension. That makes him the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history. It's going to average $42.1 million a year. Mike, that was quarterback money 5 seconds ago. That's now star receiver money. It includes over $120 million guaranteed, both setting records for a wide receiver. He's now tied with Seattle through the 2031 season. They exercised his fifth-year option for the 2027 season, worth approximately $23.9 million. They did that last week. So, man, it's a huge jump in the wide receiver market. Huge jump. Aren't you glad? Now, Jalen Waddle's good. He's not quite Njigba status, but, you know, aren't you glad he's signed a longer-term contract? He's not, like, coming up as a free agent after next season or anything. But, man, the money is changing quickly. It is happening very fast. And seeing a wide receiver get that kind of money. I mean, so, like, you had Ja'Marr Chase. His deal with the Bengals has an average annual value of 40.2. So that's still pretty high. I mean, Njigba's is 42.1. Then after Chase, it was Justin Jefferson at $35 million. CeeDee Lamb at $34 million. DK Metcalf at $33 million. Garrett Wilson at $32.5 million. So, a lot of money's being thrown around, Michael. Good for him. Good for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, man. That's what happens when you win an Offensive Player of the Year award. You know, things turn around pretty quickly. And you're going to be set up for life. Michael, did you know there was a flag football game this weekend?
I had no idea. I'm waiting for my nephew's schedule.
No clue that there was a flag football game. We all had all this March Madness stuff. Maybe it's just I didn't read anything about this. This is nothing. But apparently Tom Brady played in it. Was playing well for the most part. His team was, I don't know what his team was, but they played Team USA. So this would be the Olympic team, the Olympic flag football team, Michael, the team that will play in the Olympics, took on two different versions of NFL teams. One featured Tom Brady and Stephon Diggs and Jalen Hurts and some of those. And then others had like Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels and Saquon Barkley. I don't understand. Like, Tom Brady doesn't play the NFL, this is all just these guys on their own wanted to go out and play flag football against Team USA. And they ultimately got dominated. Tom Brady's team lost, Michael, 43-16. Brady's Founders is what they were. 43-16. And then they beat Joe Burrow's team. Let's see, was it 39-16? There was a round robin. I don't know why they're doing this, but Team USA ultimately beat the Founders 24-14. So who's the better football player? Who are the better football players? These flag football players or the real football players that got smoked by the flag football players?
This reminds me of back in the days, like 50 years ago, they used to have an NFL team play the college all-stars. And they haven't done that since the 70s. But it's like, I don't know. The all-stars have been playing with each other, and I think they did like this Green Bay and, you know, stuff. I think they did it before the season. And so you have these great NFL players, but they haven't practiced with each other. These all-stars, Team USA.
That's a good point.
But
flag football, you can be a hell of an athlete, is not the same as tackle football. Not even close. These guys are designed to hit, not reach down and grab flags. Completely different skill set. And yes, it is a skill set to rip flags off of somebody's waistline. That is a skill set. These guys are not taught that. These are tackling guys. Yes, and to avoid it. And when you're trying to break a tackle, Mike, you can do a lot of different things. You can stiff arm. You can push guys away. In flag football, you cannot block your flags. And guys, just natural instinct, someone comes at you, you want to like try to almost do a little semi-stiff arm down there. You can't do that kind of stuff. So I saw a couple of tweets about this. And, oh, the NFL should be disgraced. They should have never signed up for this. This is the bad look for the NFL because, you know, they're making it look like they're the inferior and they're not as good as the flag football athletes. If you buy into that for more than a half a second, then you're out of your mind.
This is like those people saying, oh, Team Alabama can beat the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. So dumb.
No. Team Alabama would keep it. Alabama would keep it close for like the first quarter and a half before the Browns beat the hell out of them. But you're looking at a team of really athletic people who have played this and they've played together well. If anything, it looks good for Team USA. It was probably NFL trying to show off.
And
hey,
look, Brady,
it's the NFL players.
Tom Brady's been out of the NFL for several years, and we're seriously taking this seriously. Rob Gronkowski was in this game. The guy from the WWF. He's one of the brothers that did YouTube, and now he's a WWF guy, and his other brothers fights old 90-year-old boxers like Mike Tyson. I don't even know what this was, Mike. Like, and I'm supposed to care and suddenly go, whoa, the NFL should be embarrassed of this. I didn't even know.
Is it Logan Paul?
Yeah, it's Logan Paul, and
he's the guy that ripped off a bunch of people and stole their money.
Well, he was
a terrible human.
Listen, man, I didn't even know what this was. Was this on TV? I had no idea. We had other things to pay attention to this week. So it was flag football this weekend against Team USA. I don't know, man. It was, and Gronkowski hasn't played in forever, and he was in this game. Gronk went down with an injury. Shocker. So Team USA beat Brady's Founders 43-16, and then they dismantled Joe Burrow's Wildcats 39-16. I don't care. Am I supposed to really care about this? I don't think so.
The only flag football I care to watch is like I'll love watching my nephew play flag football, and like high schoolers playing flag football, that's cool. Like you get something cool to do. I don't know. It's not super.
I don't want to watch anyone play. I'm sorry for your nephew, but I don't, unless it's my kid, I don't want to watch anybody play flag football. I don't need to see
it.
Dudes in shorts chasing after each other, pulling flags from each other. I want to see guys hit each other if I'm going to see that kind of action. So
that's more fun.
I know that we're all trying to make it a thing, and it's great. It's the Olympics. It's flag football, Brady. It's awesome, but it's going to be safer in the long run. No, I'm good.
No, we'll find out how to have injuries in flag football, too.
The NCAA tournament is off to its best start since CBS and TNT began showing all the games in 2011. The tournament averaged 9.8 million for the first 3 days. The first four on Tuesday and Wednesday, along with Thursday's first round. According to Nielsen, it's been a 5% increase from last year. Thursday's opening round games across CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV averaged 9.8 million viewers, according to Nielsen. According to Nielsen, that's a 6% increase over last year. So, Mike, as much as we want to talk about NIL, as much as we want to talk, I mean, Dick Vitale and Charles Barkley talked about this the other day in their broadcast together in one of the first four games. No matter how much there is to talk about and how much of an issue there is in college sports, at the end of the day, when we sit down and push comes to shove and you're told there's a college basketball game on, it's big, it's got, you know, championship meaning behind it, football's the same way, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch it. You almost separate from all of that. You do. Whether you like it or not, you almost separate from all of the chaos surrounding college sports when you just sit down to watch these great playoff championship type games.
Does it say whether Nielsen measures online views? Because those three, it was on four channels. Three of those channels you can get on HBO Max, and one of them you can get on Paramount Plus.
Nothing on that just yet. I'm guessing that might take more time to come out, but this is pretty much through CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV. So the main, like, cable programs that you can watch on for college basketball. But no, I don't think it counts like all the other outlets just yet. I'm sure that will come out, but I mean, crazy games. Like, you know, you had VCU's 82-78 win over North Carolina. That averaged 12.5 million. That made it the most watched first round window in NCAA tournament history. So the ratings are up. What does that tell you about everything? As bad as things are, when push comes to shove, Mike, we want to sit down and we want to watch basketball and we want to watch the best players play basketball underneath the best coaches and on the best teams, on the big teams, and we also want to see upsets too, because we all root for High Point. But we're all there for the other reasons. It's a perfect match, mix-up. Now, does that change overall if we start to see less blowouts, if that's something that does take control, maybe. But I don't think so. I mean, do you see any signs of this boat slowing down, Mike? It's only getting more popular. But at the same time, it's only getting more corrupt and more jacked up as we go. So it's a fascinating study, man. It really is. The fascinating study. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Mike, let's jump out, take a quick break here. When we come back, Ryan Staub, former Buffs quarterback, had some things to say. He's now a Tennessee quarterback. It had Buffs fans kind of pissed off. It had others wondering just what exactly he meant by his comments. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, 24 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Lemons Heating and Cooling, man, you got a feel of it. You got summer over the weekend. I don't think we're out of the woods yet, but it's going to be a little messy, sweaty, swampy all summer. I just have a feeling. I hope I'm wrong, but I tell you what was nice, get a little sunburn and going inside with the air conditioner, man. And if you don't have that going on, and you experienced kind of a rough situation last year where it just wasn't quite getting cool, then call Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll handle it for you. Free estimates are available. Let them come out. Check it out. Make sure you're good to go. It's March 23rd. Summer is right around the corner. Those 90-degree days are right around the corner. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling if you're having issues with your air conditioning unit. 970-567-0798. Or you can check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Okay, Ryan Staub, former Colorado backup quarterback. He was there for, what, three seasons or so. He's now at Tennessee, and they got their spring ball going on. And, Michael, he had this to say. This is the negative one. Buffs fans are having an issue with this right here. Some are. Depends on which Buffs fan you are. There are Buffs media outlets that are freaking out over it. Here's what Ryan Staub had to say about the differences between getting coached in Boulder as opposed to getting coached at Tennessee. Here it is.
And I mean, in my 3 years of, playing college football, I haven't had as much coaching as I've had in the first month that I've been here. So every time he pulls me to the side after a rep and, you know, talks to me about my feet or my base or the way my off arm was on the throw or whatever happened on the rep, like, I mean, it's cool. It's a lot of special coaching. I haven't been coached this much. And again, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can and improve.
Okay, so some put that out there and said, wow, this is alarming. Ryan Staub saying, I haven't been coached like this ever. You know, in the last 3 months, I haven't been coached like this in all my other time at the old school. He didn't say it quite like that. Well, first off, the guy that was primarily coaching him was Pat Shurmur, and Pat Shurmur is no longer a Buffalo. So if you are like, oh, wow, this is bad for Coach Prime, sometimes you hire bad coordinators. Sometimes it happens. I'm not defending Prime on this, although I am defending this video. Those of you saying this was an indictment against Deion Sanders, maybe you should listen to this clip from Ryan Staub in the very same press conference.
And I mean, in my 3 years of, 3 years of playing college football, I haven't had as much coaching as I've.
Wrong one, Mike. Other one. That was
for
first
me. The
one.
Biggest thing was just this culture, the being in the SEC and these coaches. The coaches were the big recruiting point for me. Told me what I needed to work on, things I need to improve. Just the level of detail in this offense was kind of the big shining light for me. I think just all the work I put in the past. Three great years at Colorado. I've just learned a lot. I've learned every step of the way. And I actually feel like I've learned the most this year so far. It was awesome. Coach Prime's like just, I mean, I'll always remember all the memories I had with him and with his program. Just an unbelievable person. He impacted a lot of people on that Colorado team, made good connections with a lot of those players, and especially with me. So yeah, Coach Prime's awesome. And
okay. Said Coach Prime's awesome. Is that just Ryan Staub being nice? Is that just him saying the right thing about a coach that likes to get a little dramatic with the microphone in front of him? Michael, is there a part of you? Now, I watched both of these clips. I was going on a little social media thing last week, and I was actually defending Coach Prime because there were a lot of Buffs outlets that were saying this is an absolute terrible look for Coach Prime, terrible look for the Buffaloes. I said, well, Mike, how many times do you hear a guy leave an organization, go somewhere else, and just love that organization, love the way they do it, and then for him to say, I'm being coached here way more than I ever was at this other place, I have a hard time taking it as I'm getting it's just better. Now it's Tennessee. So of course, what are we talking about here? Of course the coaching is better at Tennessee, Michael. Are we really are we really worried, Buffs fans, that somebody might say that Tennessee's coaching at football is better than CU's? Really? Of course it's better at Tennessee. But I didn't get this like overwhelming sense from Ryan Staub that, man, it was terrible over there and this is actually what football is. They just might have more of a hands-on approach with quarterbacks over there compared to what Coach Prime and Pat Shurmur were up to. Shurmur's an NFL guy. It could be a way different approach.
That's what I gleaned from it. I didn't see or hear anything negative about CU being.
I mean,
you could have said something negative. They had bad coordinators. That's not an indictment on Prime. He's not talking about Prime. Prime wasn't with him, telling him how to throw the ball. They had quarterbacks coaches. They had offensive coaches. So it's not blaming Prime directly. So
yeah,
I think CU fans are getting butt hurt.
Saying that you're receiving more hands-on coaching or whatever it is, way more during this time, more so than you've ever had. It's also sometimes it's not a negative with the school you're talking about. It's just a major positive with the one that you're currently with. I mean, is it, Michael, all 32 NFL teams, some player is going to leave the Broncos someday, and he's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to love it. He's going to just, maybe he likes that coaching staff better. Maybe he likes the city better. Maybe he likes the facility better. Who knows? And then he might come on and say, yeah, we didn't have anything like this at our old place. Oh, wait, is there something wrong with the Broncos situation? Because he said that they didn't have that at their old place. Now, all that being said, it's put up or shut up, I believe, for Coach Prime. This is funny coming from me, and I had a Buffs fans are like, wow, Brady's being reasonable. Thank you for being a voice of reason. I'm like, leave it to me to be the guy that's defending Coach Prime. I'm not, necessarily.
You're just speaking logically.
Because that's what we do here, Mike. Is that not what we do here on the program? I mean, we try to be as logical as we possibly can, not always trying to just fit in whatever the narrative tells me to fit. And sometimes the narrative calls for me to be fair to Coach Prime. And I don't have it against Coach Prime. I really don't. He is sometimes annoying to me. Sometimes he's a little too much. But other times, I kind of get where he's coming from. Colahoma says, maybe Coach Prime is a great person, but not so great of a coach. Well, right now, Michael, what proof do we have that Coach Prime is a great coach? We have 1 year. We have 9 wins. A 9-win year, and what is this? Is this has he coached for 3 seasons now? This will be his 4th. Is he a great coach, or did he? Because it's not just Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. There were some really good players. Is he a great coach or a great recruiter?
He's looking, from the evidence we have, he's looking more towards being a great recruiter.
And
this season, he's got to prove that he's a good coach. He's got a 50-50 record.
The tough part about that, Michael, if you're a better coach than you are a recruiter, can you not coach so well it makes you a better recruiter? Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Now, if you are a great recruiter but a bad coach, the opposite works, right? It works against you. You can only be a great coach. If you're a head coach and you're a great recruiter, the worse you do as a head coach, the harder your recruiting job becomes. Like I said, it's the opposite. If you're a great coach but a bad recruiter, suddenly you're a very good recruiter. If you're a great coach, it makes recruiting easy. You don't have to be good at it. You're just great at coaching, and if you build it, they will come. So what Coach Prime's strengths are right now are it's recruiting, because he's popular. A lot of people like the way he speaks. They like the way he sells things. They like the, hey, I'm bringing Louie with me. They like that kind of stuff. But when you start losing and you continue to lose, suddenly doesn't matter what you say. You're good at it. Hey, I appreciate the flash, but there's no more substance behind it. Why did Jordan Seaton leave? Because, well, and again, it's not just Coach Prime why players leave. They leave for more money, what have you. But there for a while, it seemed like it was Coach Prime, and he was going to be the man, and everyone was going to, you know, stick by this guy through thick and thin. And right now, you're seeing some of those cracks. And I will say this, Ryan Staub is not one of those cracks. Is it a positive thing that Staub's up there saying, I was coached better here in 3 months than I was all my time at my old place. Is it a positive thing? No. It's not really positive. I just don't think it's as damning as some people are making it out to sound.
And maybe coaching at Tennessee is better for him. Some people need more coaching than other people. Some people need that hands-on. Other people, they don't need that hands-on so much. I don't think Tom Brady, I don't think... I think Tom actually did like the hands-on. You're not as good. But I'm saying that some of those guys just don't need as much coaching. Coaching, yes. Not as much.
Did you see who was the college women's team where the head coach was like in this chick's grill? She was like putting her finger to her chest, but it was like all positive things she was saying. She just looked pissed because she's like, I know you are better than this, and I know you are great, and you just have to know it because you can lead us to a win. You can lead us through this tournament. And it was actually a really positive thing, and they spoke to that girl after the game, and she's like, I love to be coached. I love to be coached. I want that kind of hardcore coaching. Now, is that coach doing the same thing as Ali Faroukmanesh? I haven't seen Ali Faroukmanesh get in a dude's face on the sidelines and jab a finger into his chest. All positive. Have we seen that? No. So the point is, on this whole Ryan Staub thing, is you might be a player that goes elsewhere and suddenly you're getting coached hard. They're in your grill. They're ripping you a new one. You're running. And you love it.
And so people need that.
And so you say, man, I haven't been coached like this. But then another kid who's coached by the same coach goes somewhere else, and it's more like, hey, man, it's cool. You're good. Play your butt off. We're going to do this. You got it, buddy. You got it. I'm a motivator. I'm not a yeller. I'm a motivator. And that guy might look and say, he got the best out of me. I haven't been coached like this before. It's all relative. It's all subjective, depending on the person, too. So let me defend Coach Prime on that front. But let me also be clear, it's not necessarily like a ringing endorsement for Coach Prime. Ryan Staub said, I will always remember the memory of Coach Prime. That's what he said in that clip. I will always remember remembering him. Like, he's so good. He is so good to people. Really enjoy him. That was kind of empty. But I don't think he dislikes him.
I think some of Prime's problem is he doesn't pick the best coaches.
I think that's all of his problem, Michael. I think, I think that's all of it. Warren Sapp, Pat Shurmur, he's picked some good ones before. He's had some good offensive coordinator or good defensive coordinators. We'll see what happens next, though. 37 minutes after the hour, Michael, we are well overdue here. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I'm ready for the Rockies, Michael. Not this week, though. Like 3 weeks. Can we do like... Because they start Friday. Aren't we going to still be like... Here's the order of importance for sports for you, Michael. I'm telling you how to live your life, okay? Number one is the Denver Nuggets playoff push. 10 games remaining. Try to get that seed. The only reason the Avs are not second, don't freak out, Avs hockey guy. They're in the playoffs, okay? They got to get a better spot. I understand that, but they're in it. But still important, just not number two. You know what number two is here in the next couple weeks? March Madness. March Madness is number two. Number three in the next 4 weeks, Michael? The NFL draft. And the lead up, because we're a month away from the draft. So it will be the lead up to that now, the build up to the NFL draft. Number four is the Colorado Avalanche finishing out their season the right way, setting up all the momentum as they get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. That is one through four. Five is Major League Baseball. In the months of March and April, Major League Baseball are fifth place. Anything to say on that, Mike? You have been mums the word today back there. I'm starting to wonder how you're doing. I'm a little concerned about you.
I have a retort.
Go back to being quiet.
No. I have to respond to your
list of priorities in the next 2 months.
Looking forward, number one is looking forward to the Broncos' upcoming season.
No, that's not it.
Number two, it could be the draft. NFL draft.
So that's number one then for you. You can't just say looking forward to the upcoming season.
No, looking forward to the Broncos specifically, then the NFL draft.
No, that's not a thing.
Then number three is the Colorado Avalanche finishing out their
God,
their
your
season.
Priorities are so wrong.
And number
wrong.
Four is the Stanley Cup playoffs. Number five is March Madness.
Okay, come on. First off, it's got to be within the time frame here. So Stanley Cup playoffs will not start until we get into, what, second week of April.
But we're focusing on it.
No. The priority list of things to watch this weekend and next weekend and pay attention to in the next 2 weeks is the Nuggets playoff push because they actually have pressure. The Avs are okay, they've hit a little bump in the road. They're going to be fine. They're going to make the playoffs. The Nuggets, actually, there's a question as to whether they might not get in as a playoff team. So the Nuggets, number one. Then I would say March Madness, because it's still exciting, and we've got the Sweet 16 coming up. Then it's the NFL draft, as far as preparation for the draft. And then it's the Colorado Avalanche. And then it's the Colorado Rockies.
Okay, I how about this?
Don't say, like, getting ready for Broncos season in 5 months.
No. Preparation for the NFL draft is number one.
You're just so obsessed with the Broncos, and it's so annoying.
Number two, the Colorado Avalanche finishing off the season.
Yeah.
Strong. Number three, March Madness. Number four, Nuggets.
How can you
number
say
Number five.
That? No, seriously, like I'm asking. You think the Avalanche right now is the most key pressure-filled story compared to the Nuggets right now, who might not make the playoffs with a rookie head coach with one of the greatest players of all time. If the shoe was on the other foot, I would flip it around and say it is must-see every night for the Colorado Avalanche as they try to get into that eighth or seventh spot in the playoffs. So you're absolutely insane. Go back to being quiet. Go back to the corner. Sipping your little bottle every 5 seconds I look over. You're sipping your little water bottle. You're wearing your little denim jacket. And you're sipping your little water bottle. And you're yelling at the computer back there. And then when you finally do talk, you make zero sense. Now I know why you should go back to wearing denim and sipping on your little bottle and watching your computer. Watching your monitor back there. Sorry. That was a freak out. That was a little freak out. I apologize. But your priorities are out of whack. I'm trying to realign you.
Yeah, you have no idea how happy that made me. That was a great rant.
Well, I mean, the whole show, we've had a great show today, but I can't help but look back there at you during commercial breaks, and, you know, you're sipping on your water bottle.
I'm trying to stay hydrated
here. It's just
here.
So, like, so loud. And then I look at you,
you
and you're cursing at your computer. And then you get up in the middle of the segment, and you take off your denim shirt thing, man.
It's hot in here.
I don't know. I'm not really mad at you. What? Okay. Thank you. 47. Thanks for that text. 47 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break, Michael. Let me regather here. I just lost my mind on Michael. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Mike. I think you're out of your mind. Whether you're a basketball fan or not, the push for the Nuggets now, as we take a look at the NBA standings, I mean, it's tight. But I'm not saying, like, if Denver ends up in the fifth spot, would they get Houston in the first round of the playoffs? Then I'm good. Here's the thing, man. I don't want to play the Thunder. I don't want to play the Spurs. I hate to say it out loud, but in the first round, I'm not so sure I want to play the Lakers. Because I think Luka Doncic is playing at a different level. I think he's a man possessed. I think he's down on his luck personally. And so he's taking it out on the basketball court. The NBA, here's a quick story for you. The NBA has rescinded Luka's 16th technical foul, allowing him to play in the Los Angeles or Lakers road game against the Pistons on Monday night. Absolutely huge for him. He got the 16 fouls. Technical fouls would kick you out or keep you from playing in one game. And that would have been tonight. He received the technical foul in Saturday night's victory over the Magic. That would have hit the threshold for him. But here's what he had to say. He and Magic center were called for a double technical late in the third quarter after the two exchanged words while Doncic was at the free throw line. Both offered different accounts of what led to the calls. Doncic said after the game that he hoped the foul would be rescinded and the Lakers made an appeal to the league soon after the finish. And I do believe that Doncic kind of alluded to the guy was talking about his personal situation with his wife and kids and stuff. So, or his, I guess, his ex-wife and all that situation. So that's tough. If that's the case.
If someone says that about your wife, you should be allowed to say something back.
You don't bring that kind of stuff at all up. You don't bring it. Even if he's not talking directly about his wife or ex-wife, if it's something about kids or leaving or whatever, you just don't do that. That's just the line. You don't cross it.
You might have the right to punch him.
Yeah, you might. Whole show pressure cooker, Michael. There's nothing on tonight. Other than national stuff. Who's in the pressure cooker, Mike? We'll get to that coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.